It is 93.3 WMMR in our great city of Philadelphia. I'm guilty of being Jackie Bam Bam, and I am very, very, very excited because I have not said this in so long. The cold streak, we could say, has ended. I think it's been about 7 years last time I checked. But back in heavy rotation, I'm down here in the Zoom room with a very, very special guest, and it's great to have Billy Idol with us. Hi, Billy.
Yeah, hi there. How are everybody? Fantastic to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you back. Congratulations on the brand new EP. I wish it was an LP, but I'll take four songs, whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think today a lot of people, they do like the smaller increments of songs. I mean, obviously I love albums, but obviously in the end, what we're planning on doing is doing about three EPs and joining them all together onto one album. But just for the moment, just to get stuff out, it'd be a little bit more timely. Rather than just 7 years, that's a long time between music. So maybe this way we can put out music a little bit more timely, you know.
Oh, that's great. I did not know that was in front of us, but very, very excited. And this has been in heavy rotation. I mean, the EP, The Roadside, comes out tomorrow. But we've been playing this for about a month now. As soon as we got it, I mean, I put it in my Smash or Trash rotation. And our listeners are like, this is amazing. And a lot of people are like, this is my favorite Billy Idol song already. So a real big positive response from your family here in Philadelphia.
Well, that's fantastic. So great to hear. I mean, obviously, you know, you write a song and, you know, you're hoping people will like it. But this is great. This is the reaction to it. It's been fantastic. So it's fantastic to hear that.
I mean, we've all been dealing with the pandemic, and what I've read and what I've been told is this EP came out of, I guess, you've just been sitting at home, and it flashed you back to that serious motorcycle accident, I want to say in 1990, and all of a sudden you flash back to that time, and you came up with all these songs. I don't want to say how come it took you so long, but how did that come about now?
I think it's one of those things that, you know, you'd have to, events have to happen to you. You have to take them in and let them marinate. And then eventually when they do sort of want to come out, they come out very naturally and they come out really, really well. And this is what kind of happened. I mean, we were starting to write these songs at the beginning of the pandemic, really. It was kind of May, June 2020. And then, so I was, you know, obviously I could see what was going on with the virus and everything, but I didn't necessarily want to immediately try and write a pandemic song because I don't know, that doesn't always work out immediately when you haven't really had time to take everything in. So I thought, well, what could I write about that was sort of a, you know, watershed moment for me, something terrible, something, you know, calamitous, something bad, something I had to come to grips with, you know, overcome and involved hospitals and things like that. And I thought about my motorcycle accident because, yeah, you know, it was a horrible, horrible thing. But yeah, you had to face up with it and go through it. And it was going to take time to overcome it. But hopefully one, you know, you would get through it. And I did get through it. And I hope maybe by writing about that, it would inadvertently reflect about the corona, the pandemic, you know.
Right. I mean, the pandemic sucks for everybody, but for us and you, we got a good thing out of this. Just amazing music, like I said. And the leadoff single, Bitter Taste, I got to say, Steve Stevens, your partner in crime, the chemistry has been there for many, many moons. It's still there. And I love seeing him and you together. And the leadoff single, Bitter Taste, starting up with the acoustic guitar, very dark vibe to it. Then he plugs in the electric and just punches it. And like I said, the chemistry, it almost has to me, when I first heard it, I'm like, am I allowed to say like Johnny Cash's Hurt? I like the vibe. I'm like, that's Billy Idol. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, the chap we were working with, Butch Walker, he's a rocker, but he's also, you know, he's worked with Green Day and people like that and has his own career. But then he's also in the country field. He comes from Nashville. So yeah, we could easily go into that world, you know, and there's a little touch of that too, right, on a Bitter Taste, most definitely.
You mentioned Butch Walker, the great producer, Green Day, but Weezer, and of course, even his material in the band Marvelous 3 and South Gang, going back to the MTV and 80s days. How did you come to work with Butch Walker? Was it Steve, you, a member in the band, or his manager, Jonathan Daniel from Crush Management, Electric Angels days? Or
Well, yeah, Steve had heard of Butch Walker, but also I'd heard of him through Green Day and everything. Yeah. So, and we're just looking for somebody who knew our world and the punk rock world as well, and also some kind of other world that, because I like that. I like when producers aren't just coming from one place, you know, like right. Keith Falsey, my producer in the 80s, he'd been in rock bands, he'd been in pop rock bands, he'd been in a acid house band and in Germany, and then he ended up working with Donna Summer, you know, and writing disco music. So, you know, I knew he'd been all over the place, and very similar with Butch. He's been in a number of fields. So I just thought, well, that it just means you can go all over the map with people like that. And then Butch is an incredible musician, and then with Steve Stevens too. Steve, as you said, playing better than ever. Oh, yeah. The combination was great, and the three of us quarantining together, making this EP, it just made everything, well, it gave everything a rosy glow, you know, rather than, the kind of horrible stuff that was going on. We had something positive going on that we were happy about, and we were enjoying together and, doing something positive with that time.
The video, too, we have at WMMR.com. It's scary, but it's beautiful. And the scary part, the end of the video, you on the road with the angel wings. I'm like, this is great. Did you have a lot to do with the making of the video, Billy?
Well, lots of ways, yeah. But, the chap who directed it, Stephen Sebring, he works with like Patti Smith and people like that. Oh. So he's got a cred all of his own. And just even talking to him initially on the phone or over a Zoom or whatever it was, I just got such a great vibe from him that, you know, he sent me some mood pictures and, you know, he sent me the picture of the wings. And at first, you know, I was a little bit, man, this might not work. You know, this could be embarrassing or something.
But
I thought about Stephen and I thought how, you know, what he'd said to me. And I thought, man, I'm just going to go with it. I kind of trust the guy's vibe. And it was right. I did the right thing. And it's almost like a surrealistic image. You know, it's kind of fantastic. And I just thought, there you go. He pulled it off. And a lot of the ideas were his in the video. But it was great. You know, it was right up my street. And it's what we wanted to do. And it just went with Bitter Taste so well.
You said it so well. It turned out amazing. And I really, like, besides loving the song, again, the video just puts the extra icing on the cake. The brand new EP is out on Dark Horse Records. George Harrison's label, his son takes it over, of course, these days, Dahani Harrison, and a big, big fan of yours. How does that make you feel? I mean, George's kid.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, just to have that kind of background, pushing the song and being behind this, it's great. I mean, I was a massive Beatles fan when I was really little, six to about 15, you know, when they broke up. And I loved the solo stuff. And so I had All Things Must Pass, and, you know, I like love what George did and everything. And just incredible to be on a label with Joe Strummer and everything. I mean, and Ravi Shankar, it's kind of nuts. And but it's fantastic. I think, Dani obviously maybe grew up hearing some of the music and stuff. And so it's kind of fantastic. And he's friends with Shepherd Fairey. I am too. So it's kind of a little bit of our little clique we're in. So, but it's great. It's great to have this the backing of Dark Horse is fantastic.
And that's so great hearing you adore the Beatles. Like, who doesn't? But of course, Generation X and growing up in the punk scene at that time, like, the Sex Pistols slamming the Rolling Stones and the Kinks and the Beatles, but you always adored them and appreciated them. I thought that was so cool on your end.
Well, it was an interesting thing. I mean, the English punk rock groups, yeah, the Clash, and everybody was saying this, no Beatles, no Elvis, no Rolling Stones. But then you had the Ramones in America, you know, they're named after one of Paul McCartney's pseudonyms.
That's right.
So it was this funny, you know, they didn't mind the old bands. And that's because, we grew up with the 60s bands and, you know, a lot of what they did was great. And, but at the same time, I really understood we're year one of a revolution, punk rock. We are trying to like re-sort of shape everything, give it a new energy. So I understood that. But, you know, I bought Beatle records and things. So it was a bit, I just felt like, well, there's things about the Beatles that were great, things about the Who that were great. And there's things about the Who that you can bring into punk rock. So, and just the great songs and everything. But I love the Velvet Underground. I love the Dolls and everything. So I loved what was going on in New York, and they loved what was going on in the 60s. So it wasn't so bad digging it. And But there you go. That's what punk rock was about in England. And yeah, you know.
But that's cool because, I mean, like the Sex Pistols are like, but you guys always respected that. And I thought that was cool that, you stood on your own ground.
I mean, people like Mick Jones, I mean, he loved Keith Richards. You just knew that. You knew from the way he looked when initially the Clash. But there you go. You know, it's just one of those things that people were just starting to, you know, try a new playing field and a new attitude. And I understood that completely. It's just... But anyway, yeah, it's just great to have these influences and great to have it all kind of connecting together after all these years. It's really kind of fabulous.
Now, it's been a couple years, and I see you are going to take this EP out on the road. It's going to be a great feeling. I looked up your tour dates, and you're kind of sort of close in our area. As a matter of fact, this weekend, you're playing in Asbury Park, the See Here Now Festival, alongside Pearl Jam, the Smashing Pumpkins, and a few others. I don't see a Philadelphia date on your tour itinerary yet, Billy. Anything in the near future that maybe you could tell us? Or,
well, of course, when we made these dates, the coronavirus was, you know, I mean, it was, everything was being cancelled, really. And we made these dates initially last year. So we're doing dates that were initially for last year, and then we're doing them this year. But of course, it also means, we're still kind of, very iffy about where we should play, because I don't want anybody to face restrictions necessarily. So we did a lot of state fairs that were outside, and hopefully people could feel as safe as possible. And most of the gigs we're doing, I think, are outside still, except for the shows in Vegas. We're doing four shows in Vegas, but that's kind of maybe why there isn't so many shows. Maybe one near Philadelphia. Maybe it's because, when we were setting these dates, we just had no idea what was really going to happen and what was really, what shows, what venues were really going to be having shows on. So this is what we could plan last year, and this is what we're doing. But of course, soon as we can, I think we will be playing all of those sort of cities. I can't wait to come back to Philadelphia. We've always had an incredible reaction there. So it's even way back to 1982, and I don't know. It's always been fantastic.
Yeah. You played in Philadelphia at our air conditioned girl. We call it the Spectrum, which is no longer standing. You played a couple times at our Tower Theater, but you played the Spectrum, I believe, three times. The Cult supported you. Faith No More supported you. Any memories of playing them shows here in Philadelphia, Billy?
Well, both of those bands were great. I mean, I think Ian Asbury was on that tour, was trying to outdo me in that way. He was smashing more rooms up, and he was tearing golf clubs up, and he was walking around in Nazi uniforms. I was going like, man, I can't beat that. So I was going to sing the songs. But they were fantastic. It's great. It was just a great tour. And it was fantastic with Faith No More, because it was such a powerful, such a powerful bill. Mm-hmm. And they were really sort of on their way up and making a mark, and it's just great. And and they're still playing today. We're all still playing. It's kind of really wild, and it's going to be great in Asbury Park with Pearl Jam and everybody. I mean, it's so magic that the audiences are so hungry, and they're so excited and so hungry for the music. So it's fantastic being out there at this time, because people are starving and they're just enjoying getting back to it again. And
Billy, I know you got to go. I just want to ask you a quick couple of questions. You're on Miley Cyrus's latest record, and you jumped up on stage at Lollapalooza with her. Speaking of them bands this weekend, you plan on jumping up on stage at all with any of these bands, or?
Well, we're actually playing these next few, next few days. So possibly, you never know when we get there. What might happen.
How about drinking in New York City? I've read this, and I've always wanted to ask you this. Rebel Yell, you're at the Old Cat Club, New York City, 76 East 13th Street. You're with, was it just Keith and Woody or Jagger? And you're like, give us a shot of Rebel Yell. Is that how that song came about?
Yeah, it really was. All three of them were standing in front of me. They were all, each one of them had a bottle of this stuff in their hand. And I kind of followed it up to their lips, the label, and went, wow, it's called Rebel Yell. And I was really looking for song titles. And I had a number of backing tracks with nothing on them. So I went, Rebel Yell. So I kind of said to them, that's a song title. Because I asked them, did you have this stuff made up? And they said, no, it's a Southern Sour Mash. suburban and everything. And we didn't have it made up. So I said, Rebel Yell, now that's interesting. Because I knew about the American Civil War and stuff. And so I said to them, do you think you'd use it? And then as I said that to them, I said, oh, well, Street Fighting Man, yeah. Jumping Jack Flash, yeah. Rebel Yell. And they kind of looked at each other and went, no, I don't think we would. And I went, I just thought in my mind, I went, I'm going home. When I get home, I'm going to start writing. I'm going to make it a cry of love, though, you know. So, but it's fantastic. It's great. Wow. You know, getting some inspiration from some of my heroes. Really.
Was oh, yeah. I wish I was drinking with you that night at that table. Hey, any plans or anything on the docket for being in movies? You've been in quite a few. The Doors. I mean, Adam Sandler's Wedding Singer, a heavy metal sequel. Anything else? In the near future, appearing in any movies or anything planned?
I'm always up for it. So, yeah, if something came along, I'd love to do it. You know, it's kind of fun. It's fun trying out different things.
You said you're a great producer. I never knew this either. Simple Minds, you were offered that song. Don't You Forget About Me. You finally did record it years later on The Greatest Hits, but that was first offered to you, and then you refused that?
Well, actually, it's a bit of a, that's a bit of a people, actually, it's not really true. What happened is Keith Forsey was, he wanted to, you know, he was working with me and he was trying to enlarge who else he worked with. Because at one point, it was just me, me and Charlie Sexton. It was just me. Oh, he was working with me and Charlie Sexton. And he loved Simple Minds. So he kind of wrote it for them. He wrote, and he said to me, you know, I've written this song and I'm hoping that Simple Minds will do it. And if they don't do it, maybe Brian Ferry, you know. And, but of course, when it came out with Simple Minds doing it, everybody thought it was me. So eventually I recorded my own version. But of course, now there's this kind of urban myth that I refused it. I mean, man, would I refuse that song? I mean, I've had to watch people singing la, 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 you know, in huge auditoriums to Simple Minds because we did a gig with them. Hope I was going, would I have not done, you know, said yes to the song? But it's okay, it's one of those urban myths, and it's funny how they get started. But I mean, yeah, it would be ridiculous. Would you turn down that song? No, I wouldn't have.
Right.
So he did, but he wasn't for me, unfortunately. I mean, but there you go. He did do it with Simple Minds, and he enlarged who he worked with, and that's what he was trying to do. And he did a couple of albums with them, and it was great.
How about, speaking of, any more covers that maybe you'll add onto these next EPs? I know The Doors, L.A. Woman, Tommy James, of course, Moni Moni, Lou Reed's Heroin. Any other covers you ever thinking about recording and maybe adding on these next couple EPs?
We've been doing a cover of Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers, Born to Lose, on this tour, so that sounded pretty good, so.
Can't put your arms around a memory, Billy.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song.
Hey, speaking of beautiful, we follow you on social media. Before I let you go, just beautiful pictures. Congratulations, your granddaughter, Poppy Rebel. You're opening up. I love seeing that side of Billy Idol. And I mean, you're pushing her on the swing. You're walking around your living room. And I heard she loves your music and she loves Baby Shark. She speaks three words. The last time I checked, is it dude, duck, and fish? Anything more, Billy? Grandpa Billy.
Yeah, what was it yesterday? Bubble now. She's enlarging. She's starting to string words together. Like the other day, they were trying to get her to get on the bed with her mother, and she turned to her mother and went, no, bye. So I think she's starting to put the words together. So she's a lot of fun. And my daughter's now pregnant with another little baby girl that she'll be having in the beginning of January. So I'm going to be a double granddad, so there you go.
God bless you. Well, all the best. Congratulations. Billy Idol, we say congratulations. The brand new EP is out tomorrow, The Roadside, and you're hearing it on 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia, the great new song, Bitter Taste. Billy, anything you'd like to say to your friends and family here at MMR before we let you go in Philadelphia?
Well, I can't wait to be there playing, you know, Bitter Taste and the rest of the EP and with Steve Stevens in Philadelphia. Right in your face, as I want to be right looking at you. Yeah!
Yeah, the best hair in rock and roll, Billy Idol, Steve Stevens. Billy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to pretend to be my friend.
Cheers, Bam Bam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.